Take poetry, the spoken word. Mix in two stories of redemption, stir in a meeting at a poetry slam, and top it off with a poem about Michigan. Do all of that, and you have Kinetic Effect. They're a spoken word performing duo from Kalamazoo. Perhaps you've seen their performance of The Michigan Poem making its way around the web. They're straight from the heart piece about what it means to be from Michigan. Kinetic Effect joins us now from Kalamazoo. Kirk Latimer and Gabriel Giron, welcome to both of you. You're both making quite a mark in performance art with your poetry. You say you're two men, one voice. Gabriel, what is that one voice saying?
Well, essentially it's saying that we don't have to be held, our futures don't have to be held to our past. We oftentimes make mistakes as every, you know, teenager or young adolescent goes through life. We have to bump our heads a few times in order to figure out things. And those don't always have to define us. But, you know, unfortunately, our society is very systems-based. And too often, you know, when we bump our heads, somebody's watching. And then we get put under a microscope and we get told that we're bad people, and that dictates where we can go with our futures. And luckily for Kirk and I, we were able to do that and then fight our way through that. And really what we're trying to do is represent a voice that has been told that they'll never amount to anything, and let them know that that's not true, that you can control your own destiny.
Kirk, what's your take on your message?
Something very similar. I mean, the idea that sometimes we walk through life feeling like we are so alone in our experiences, oftentimes because we really hide who we truly are. And when we realize and express parts of ourselves that are more vulnerable, the things that we are afraid make us ugly, like our scars, for example, whether they're literal or figurative, we realize that these scars, in fact, connect us to other people, because that is the universal experience of being human. And that's the one voice I think we talk about. I mean, Gabriel and I look different, we talk different, we sound different, but when we speak together, we speak from one voice, because it is our experiences that have united us. And if we can help other people feel more comfortable sharing who they truly are, I think that more of us will realize that we're all part of that one voice.
Your nonprofit group, Speak It Forward, Inc., is aimed at lifting up and helping at-risk youth. You pour so much effort into working with young people, and it's so telling because you each had to walk a very treacherous path to get to this point of reaching out to inspire and help at-risk kids. You each made bad, even dangerous choices as teenagers, and then had to really live the message that you're preaching. Gabriel, tell us first about your struggles.
Well, I had a wonderful upbringing when I was really young. I grew up in New York until I was about seven. Parents separated. And then for 4 years, I moved, went to a different school each year. And that really changed the mindset of who I became, because I was so afraid of losing someone else. You know, I lost my dad. I lost my community. I kept losing all these friends, that I decided I didn't want to let anybody into my life. And really that brought me into a very dark space, which led to drug abuse and later drug dealing, led to a lot of criminal activity and being gang affiliated. And then I was handed a second chance opportunity. It was probably more like a ninth or tenth chance in all reality, but a really big second chance opportunity. And I took it. And it really changed the course and the trajectory of my life. As we talked about earlier, I was in the military, ended up leaving for the military, and while I was serving our country, I was diagnosed with cancer. And then ended up being stationed at Walter Reed Army Medical Center. And so the last 2 years of my service, I spent surrounded by people coming back from the war, and that even more changed the impact of what I was going through, because I realized, even though I was going through such a difficult struggle at the time, that I was still very much blessed, and that there were people who were really having hard times. I mean, I was struggling for my life, but I realized that if I was able to overcome the cancer, I would physically be able to walk out of the hospital, whereas a lot of my fellow soldiers couldn't literally walk out of that hospital. You know, they were missing legs, or they were missing arms, or they had 90% body burns from fighting for our country. And it really left a strong imprint on my mind that we need to take advantage of every second that we have, because we don't know what lies in our future. And from my battle with cancer, I was left with several scars, but two of them, one from the bottom of my neck to my sternum and the second from my sternum down past my navel, leave me with a scar that literally makes it look like I had an autopsy. And it's the first thing that I see every morning when I go into the bathroom.
Mm.
And it's just a reminder. Every single day, I can't escape. I can't escape that physical scar. It's there to remind me you're lucky to be alive. You better take advantage of it, and you better make a difference.
That's a turnaround. And Kirk, you were an English teacher?
I was an English teacher, that's right.
So tell us your story.
Well, my whole upbringing and my life is pretty much perfect.
Listen to Gabriel laughing.
Obviously, I'm the jokester. But the funny thing about it is that I think for a long period of time, I did project myself and my life as quote-unquote perfect. I think a lot of us do. And in part, that created some of my turmoil. But before then, when I was a little boy, like Gabriel, you know, I was a, you know, regular, playful child. And I was super sensitive as a little boy. And it doesn't take very long in this world to realize that if you're a super sensitive boy in a world that says men are not sensitive, you start to get whittled away at, you know, beaten down, made fun of, called all kinds of names. And you start learning ways to build up walls to protect yourself, especially those who are most sensitive, build up the biggest walls. And so I learned that my passion and my sensitivity could be turned into fire and anger. And I started closing people's mouths physically and defending myself. You know, how the bully becomes the bully, so
yeah,
to speak. And this led to a very treacherous experience in high school. By this time, I was far more vain and far more self-centered. And I started dealing drugs, heavy, heavy drugs. And it came to a head my senior year of high school. This was the year that my high school became national news when they called it Suicide High. Because in that year, five of my friends killed themselves in a three-month time period.
Mm.
And it was a devastating experience. Now, oftentimes when they talk about the deaths, I mean, those that took their lives were high at the time that they did it. And the one that was really providing the drugs was, guess who? Me.
Mm.
And this left me with a feeling of understanding that what I had begun to do was push everyone away because of how I was hurt as a child. And then my best friend in high school at the time, he was sentenced to prison, and he actually died in prison a little over a year ago at the age of 31, zipped up in a body bag. And here I am, alive and transformed. I remember my senior staring into the casket of the youngest 14-year-old girl and thinking, oh, man, I really need to change. And almost overnight I did. I went to college, ended up making it through college with superior GPA and scholarships, and I turned all that fire and all that passion into dedicated hard work. And I became an English teacher because I wanted to give to my students what no one could ever give to me. And the reality of it was is that I had to come to terms with understanding that in order to live life to its fullest, I had to embrace and accept every part of me, including my past. Because when you ignore and you try to push away your past, that's when it becomes your ball and chain. You might think you're moving forward, but in fact, you're taking 10 steps back. And it took a lot of head bumps, a lot of hurt, and a lot of loss to realize that. And my students, thank God, were the ones who helped open my eyes and actually, in fact, are the ones that got me started doing poetry and entering the competition scene, which is where I ended up meeting Gabriel.
That was Kirk Latimer speaking. He, along with Gabriel Girone, are known as Kinetic Effect, and they are using their poetry and their performance art to work with and reach out and help at-risk youth. Tell us about the programs that you do with at-risk youth. I know the Young Adult Diversion Court Program has been getting a lot of attention. What is that?
The Young Adult Diversion Court Program is a collaborative community effort to really transform the ways in which we are dealing with young adults in our court system. Normally, everything is very, you know, the high oversight of the court and the punitive way of dealing with offenders. In this case, the idea is to give young adult offenders a voice and an opportunity to work through a program that truly believes that not only are they, you know, people who deserve a second chance, but they are talented, and maybe even more talented because of the things that landed them in trouble. And so what we do is we mine them. We mine them for their talents and their voice, and we give them an opportunity to express it in much more productive ways than what they're used to doing. And this is because Judge Blatchford, who is the main overseer of the court who brought this program together.
In Kalamazoo.
In Kalamazoo, that's correct. Realized that, in fact, the way that we're dealing with young adults is not really working the way that it should be. And instead, we need to bring together a community effort and wrap around these young adults so that we can help make them, and not just make them, so that we can help them express who they truly are and feel like they're actually a part of a community that wants them to be there.
What do you hear from the young people back? What do you get from them, and what do they tell you about how you've touched them?
Oh, my God. I couldn't even begin to tell you the types of things that they open up about. I mean, it's just amazing. One major resounding thing that we hear is that they've never had the opportunity to truly share their voice and be heard, and that what we provide them is that opportunity to have an outlet to actually speak about their experiences and not be judged for it. But I do have to say, it's not just the youth. Mm-hmm. I mean, we perform for the youth in a juvenile home, but then we go and do the same presentation for the court officials that are governing over them or, you know, keeping them in line, and we get the same feedback. That's the craziest thing. We have this activity that allows people to open up, and I won't go into whole detail about what the process is, but what we end up with is a note card with personal information on it from them about them opening up. And you would never be able to tell, because it's anonymous, you'd never be able to tell which group it came from.
Amazing.
They are that similar. You would never be able to tell the difference of where we are. And that's the power of what we have found. And it's not like we're not creating something new. This isn't some unraveling of some new phenomenon. This is stuff that everybody has inside them. That's the beauty of it.
Gabriel Giron and Kirk Latimer are Kinetic Effect, and their nonprofit group, Speak It Forward, Incorporated, offering programs such as the Young Adult Diversion Court Program, the Speak With Fire workshops, and you can find out more about them and their work on their website, which is kineticeffect.com, and that's AFFECT, kineticeffect.com. Gabriel and Kirk, it was a pleasure to talk with you, and
thank you so much for having
us. We'll keep following the work you're doing.
Awesome. Thank you so much.